But you better believe it's California Dreamin'. Hi, Mary Jane Pop here. Welcome to Pop Off on day three at BBSRadio.com. It's really been an exciting time. The first 2 days we spent over at the state capitol and got a chance to meet Arnold Schwarzenegger in person, although I met him back in 1975. Someday I'll tell you the story behind that. That's kind of a fun story in itself. But I want to tell you, for those of you who are just joining us on Pop Law for the first time, a little bit about what the show is going to be from here on. It is a magazine format. It is about you. It's about me. It's about life and lifestyle, how to feel better, do better, be better, live longer, happier. We're going to give you tools. That's what Pop Law is all about. Now, it's not going to be from yours truly. Yeah, I'll interject my big fat opinion here and there. That's just because it's me, and it's my show, and I can do that. But we're going to have the best and the brightest from around the world that will give you all the information that you're ever going to need. And I mean seriously, great information. These are the experts in all their different fields. And we want to make sure that each and every one of you understand that the show is for you. It's our show. So if you have any ideas, topics that you would like to hear, believe me, I have access. Honestly, I've been doing this for 35 years, seriously, both radio and television. And I have access through myself, my contacts, and the contacts at BBS Radio that we can find just about anyone to talk about anything that you want to hear about on Pop Off. All you have to do is let me know. You can email me, MaryJane@popoff.com. And it's P-O-P-P, two P's and two F's, P-O-P-P-O-F-F.com, popoff.com. MaryJane@popoff.com. You let me know what you want to hear, what you want me to have on the show, topic-wise, and I will find them for you, I guarantee you. Again, we welcome you to Pop Off. The shows are going to be archived, so if you don't get a chance to listen to us every single day, don't worry. You can listen at other times of the day, and we'll even have synopsis of each show so you know what's going to be on. And speaking about great ideas and great topics, well, folks, but the question is, what is the style of all these people that makes them so special? Are they California girls? Are they East Coast girls? Are you abreast of what's going on in this country? Are we becoming boobs all the way around? Well, Dr. Neely Sachs thinks so. When teens want breast implants at 15 or 16 years old, and women make their breasts so big that they need a shelf, not a bra. But you know what? It's a billion-dollar industry. And money talks, let's be honest about it. But so does Dr. Neely Sachs in her book called, and I love this, it's called Booby Trap. Dr. Sachs, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Congratulations on a great show.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Sachs. You know, it is amazing when we talk about women and their breasts. The other parts of the world, in Europe, you know, these are milk sacks. And we think, and men and women both here revere them as something that defines them.
Yes, correct.
So, absolutely. Now, why is it? What is that difference? Oh. I don't understand why people have to have that difference of opinion about what a breast is. It's a practical application, isn't it?
Yes, but not what you think. Okay. It's a practical application for a new journey, a new endeavor. Now breasts are not just the old-fashioned way to feed the young.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, practically, breasts represent a status symbol, an accessory that you compete with other women.
Yeah, isn't that bad?
Once upon a time, in the 50s, breast used to be just to sell products, you know.
Yeah.
Toothpaste, beer, cars, everything. Now, we took it out of the hands of men in advertisement, and we make breasts an accessory that we compete with each other, just like something you'd buy, something expensive,
yeah,
that you will buy in a department store.
Yeah, it's sort of like, we're going to have blissful romance. The perfect thing is going to happen to us if we have big boobs. I mean, this
yes.
is ridiculous.
Yes. Well, you have to be sensitive to what what the masses, what we want out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's now it's breast. In the next 5 years, it will be lips.
Oh, that's already there.
Yeah. So then,
have you seen some of those stars with those that stuff Restylane that they shoot into their lips and it almost looks like platypus ducks.
This is just to show you. Oh, and other places are being filled up and rounded, and you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it just goes to show you that it's not about the human body and our body parts that are, you know, we have each body part forever. No, it's not. They are all transient accessories that as the fashion change, that's the emphasis. And I might say something, I might quote you here on something you said at the beginning. Mm-hmm. This is really what it's about. Follow the money, honey.
Yeah.
Plastic
surgery is probably one of the fastest growing and biggest industries that
yeah.
ever existed.
And they will grow more because that's what we want. I mean, not you and me in person. I mean, that's what the people want. So
mm-hmm.
we give the people what they want, and don't blame us if we don't recognize you later.
Well, it's kind of a strange situation because, you know, a person will make changes, and then they think all these wonderful things are going to happen to them, and then they don't, and then they try and find something else to correct. You know, you keep, that's all
yes.
you can do the whole part of your life is trying to correct yourself instead of just trying to be yourself.
You know, you sound like as if you were a fly on the wall in my office.
Really?
I'm a therapist. It's been 30 years now in my profession.
Mm-hmm.
And people come to me to improve, to change if possible, and to make these little small changes with big impact and effect in their life. And definitely, what you just said, definitely women come in with expectations that with a change in size breasts,
mm.
lip size, you know, and other wonderful body parts
mm-hmm.
that have their own uses, if we will change them, then happiness upon us. Well,
I have to give you an example, Dr. Sachs.
Yeah.
We've talked before, so
yes.
I've told you this story. I think it still needs to be said. My mother, beautiful woman, beautiful young woman, all her life she got away with murder because of her looks. She was cute, blue-eyed, blonde hair, fair skin, good figure, large boobs naturally. She didn't have to have those enhanced. But, you know, as a result of that, when she got older, and I'm sorry, but wrinkles start coming, and sagging starts going, and those wonderful 44 double DEs started looking like, you know, little hanging appendages.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, her life wasn't defined anymore. I don't think she knew who she was anymore.
Well, you
isn't
said
that
it again, that we define ourselves by our looks. This is sad, because looks goes.
That's right.
And
then what's left, you know?
Well, what's left, you see, here it is. What's left is the illusion that if we'll fix it, we'll have the identity back.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you a story
okay.
that happened to me last week when a client who, as they say, has done her breast, her nose, her cheekbones, and so on, came to me and finally said, you know, I met somebody nice. And then she said the most amazing diagnostic sentence to me. She
uh-huh.
said, do you think that if he would know me before, would he like me as much?
Oh, you're kidding.
So innocent statement from a woman who paid a lot of money for all these changes, hoping for happiness, and now she found a nice guy, mm-hmm. and now there is this split between the reality of how she looks, which is nice and cute and new, and the reality of the true self, I repeat, the true self, which never changed. And now she feels, of course, being a therapist, I went into the subject and asked her a question, and she now has a little guilt because he doesn't know her true self, and maybe she wouldn't be as loved. So the split between the true and the new will never be integrated, because we believe that the new reality of the improved self is not us.
Yeah.
You cannot buy, money cannot buy the true self, mm-hmm. not any improvement, plastic or otherwise, not even working out.
Yes.
There is a true self that is our identity that will not change.
Yeah.
It might change for a little bit, like the honeymoon with your new boobs and et cetera. But the true self will not change. And here's a revealing question. You think he would have loved me if he knew me before?
Mm.
Oh, my answer is...
Neely, the other thing that really bothers me, if it's an adult, I figure, hey, you got to live your life.
Right.
Over 21, if you want to start making major changes in your life and starting, you know, with the fillers and the plastic surgery and the additives and the takeaways or
yeah.
whatever you want to do, it's fine. But when you have a 14 or a 15-year-old
oh.
who wants this as a high school graduation present, they're not even mature yet.
Okay, let me scare you some more.
Uh-oh.
The media keeps saying, oh, it's a high school graduation. And every once in a while, before graduation, many radio shows call me to make comments about this
mm-hmm.
fascinating graduation gift. And I have bad news for you guys out there. It's not anymore graduation gift. It's now sweet 16 gift.
Oh,
so, yes, what's going on with that? Well, it's not the media fault. It's not the media fault as much as I would love to say that. You know, the magazine, television. No, it's not. It has to do with a mother's... See, I'm a therapist. Always blame the mother. You're safe with that. It's the mother's low body image
yeah.
or poor body image that she allow herself to say bad, mean things about her body.
Yeah.
Her daughter's sons listen to that. Then what wonder is it that now the young generation would like to improve?
Yeah, I mean, Neely, seriously, when you hear about little girls 7 and 8 years
yeah.
old who are going on major diets
absolutely.
Because they think they're too fat.
Yes.
Excuse me, there's nothing even there to figure out whether they're fat or if it's just
okay.
you know, big growing up baby.
Always, always look at the mother's body image.
Yeah.
Body image is a psychological perception of are we good or not good enough
yes.
in
that's
this culture. And in our culture, no matter what size we are, we're not good enough. The young girls breathe it in. You see, they don't copy it from a magazine. They breathe it in from their mommies.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we have a whole new generation of young moms with their poor body image that now feel they have to diet, they have to have new boobs, nose jobs, liposuction at age 17, and this is the beginning.
Let me ask you a quick question. You said something very telling at the beginning of the show. You said that it's women who do this to themselves.
Right.
Are we then, it's our fault, or are we saying, well, that's what the guys want? Do the guys really want?
Do you know, that would be the easy way out if
yeah.
I will say, oh, because men want it, that's why we do it. It used to be many, many decades ago when advertisement was ruled by men. You know, this was really men's world, advertisement. Not anymore. It's not about men anymore. What's driving the competition and the fashion is really women competing among themselves. They don't care anymore if it's attractive or not attractive to the guy. They are competing with women of who has a better surgeon. Surgeon is now a status symbol.
You're kidding.
No, no, and they go back in a couple of years for the next size. So, look, there is a study, a very respectable study in the United States that says 71% of American men do not care for big breasts. 71, not 40, not 30. 71% say it doesn't matter if breasts are very large. We'd like a woman that's feminine, sense of humor, femininity, sexuality. I want my girl next to me.
And
not
proportioned. You know, you can be proportioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, proportioned. So, in other words,
Yeah. So men say, no, it's not that important, except now. There is a group of men that must have very, very, very large breast women, girlfriends and wives, and they're willing to pay for the procedure.
Yeah.
How do I know that? Well, some of these men were my clients for relationship therapy.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of these women were. So there is a large group out there of men. Now, why? Why would a man that's healthy otherwise would like enormous breast on his girlfriend or wife?
Well,
why?
It's sort of like you want your boobs to arrive before you do?
Yes. We're talking
silly.
Monstrous one that every couple of years they go and they take the next size. Okay. The answer to that is in the psychological terms, sorry to use those, but it's important here. It's called projection. Men who are very scared about their masculinity project on us women those fears, and the bigger breast, the bigger advertisement of femininity on the girlfriend or the wife will announce how masculine and virile they are. So there is a large group of men like that out there, and it's breasts are so obvious, so this is what you see. As you said, they walk first in the door.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there are men that have to have them, but they are a minority.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe the fashion will change, you know, like straight hair, curly hair. The fashion will change, and small breasts will be in fashion. Now what are we going to do?
Well, don't you remember Twiggy?
I remember Twiggy. Remember, we are in that age. We remember
Twiggy
her.
Had nothing. I mean, she didn't have breasts, she didn't have hips, she didn't have
nothing. Nothing.
She was straight, up and down, really skinny, skinny.
Yeah.
So, I'd be in trouble if we do that.
Yeah, we all will be. But then, we're not in trouble at all because this is not our standard.
Yeah.
And we go by what's healthy and not. You and I will not dictate the shape of what's in fashion to go and to surgically alter our bodies forever.
Yeah.
As one, I think I told you that in previous show, as one Playboy centerfold that I know personally that now has done her entire body, tells me now, you know, when I go to sleep at night, I sleep with dead body parts.
Oh, God.
All these little parts that were done, chin, cheeks, buttocks, lips, breast twice, all those body parts that I have done are now numb and dead to the touch.
No.
So I go to sleep with dead body parts. I wake up in the morning, they're still dead.
Oh, for God.
This was such, if it wasn't funny, I mean, it is so touching to hear that.
Yeah.
And yes, she does regret having everything done. She's a lovely personality,
kind of,
and now mature, she still is a lovely personality.
Yeah. But
so, yes, that's what we get when we mature with all this improvement. We get old bodies and perky breasts. Oh, my God, I can imagine the sight.
The face is sagging and the breasts are still real out there, you know.
Yeah, really. Come on.
You know, and like you said, if it wasn't sad, it would be laughable.
Yeah.
But it is sad.
It's very sad.
We're raising the next generation, and that generation is going to pass it on to the next because that's just...
We are into it already. It's not in the future. We are passing it. The young mothers of today are victim of their mothers' poor body image of the generation that started it all. So we are already seeing the granddaughters of poor body image now.
Yeah. What do you suggest? I mean, for parents who have their kids, and the magazines and television sure don't help. I'm not going to blame only the moms and the dads, but I'm also going to say, hey, look, what about, you know, the magazines, et cetera? What do we do with our kids? I mean, how do we
pass on the right... You cannot change the magazine and the media because that's how they make their living. We cannot change that. But we can educate young mothers to tell them that more than nutrition and more than working out, your body image is probably one of the most important heritage and legacy you give to the next generation. So I will start with your audience, and I will say, mothers, your healthy body image is the most important legacy you give to the next generation. Was I clear enough?
Yeah, it's clear enough, but you know, how do we get this into people's minds, like you make it granite, so they don't realize, because a lot of parents, mothers especially, would say, well, yeah, but I want to give my daughter every chance that's possible, and, you know, put her in the little Miss pageants, and,
With me on that.
Oh, that's another one that bothers me, too.
Yes.
You know, 3-4 years old, they're parading them on stage to be a star.
Okay. Maybe that's a subject for a whole other time and another show on your blessed show, but I just name it.
Okay, yeah.
When you talk about beauty pageant and body image with the young generation, this is one of my most important topics, and you're talking about how us, in our generation, mothers, we sexualize our children before their time.
Yeah.
That's the name of the topic of the looks, the lipsticks, the gestures that are very seductive. We are sexualizing our children before their time, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, you got it right. And you know what? I think what we have to do is, like you said, it's got to start with one person saying, enough is enough.
Yeah.
And we have to start saying, you know, the organ is the brain. That's the one that we want to really push forward and say, that's what really counts. You know, using your
head. There is one more organ it's not an organ. There is one more participant in it. It's the organ brain, and it's the spirit. Because when you take a young girl that compare herself to classmates and she does not look good in comparison, you break her spirit.
Oh, God.
So it's not only the mental health. We're talking about the whole human spirit that we're breaking by comparison, by telling the young, you're not good enough, you can be better, you should win in the look competition. We're breaking their spirit. We'll have broken spirits. And you know what that can lead to when a nation is broken in spirit.
I mean, we've got enough kids the way they are today, you know, committing suicide, for God's sake.
Exactly.
You know, the suicide rate has gone up huge numbers for teenagers. And I'm going, wait, they don't even know what life is about yet, and they're trying to end it?
Yeah. That's more or less, that's the consequences, the far consequences of... Where do we begin? We're telling our kids they can look better? Why? I mean, yes, it's in the brain, but it's in the spirit, and this is very important. So I consider your show very, very important because of your message, and I hope the world is listening.
You got it. Now, if people want more information about Booby Trapped, how do they get it?
Oh, well, it's so complicated.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I have this site that I'm waiting for you all in, and I will meet you there. The site name is boobytrap.com.
I love it.
And in there, for women, there is a quiz. It's for free.
Uh-huh.
And the quiz is, are you boobytrapped? Let's start with women.
Oh, there is a quiz. I got to take the quiz sometime.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll tell you, before we do the next show, when I have you back, I'll have taken that quiz.
Yeah, it's only for women because I want to start educating women.
Okay.
And, of course, I know women are such good messengers. They will educate the men.
So the book is available there, too?
Yes.
Okay.
On my website, the book is available and the quiz is available and tips for mothers.
Good.
What to say to your daughter when she asks for breast implants.
Now, is the book also available at bookstores, Amazon, all that?
Well, it was available for a long time. I don't know if now it is, but yeah.
Yeah, they go to the site. And is there a phone number where they can call for the book, too?
Let me see. No, it's all the information on the website.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah, boobytrap.com.
Fantastic.
It's a fun website.
Fabulous. Dr. Sachs, thank you so much. You are fantastic. I love having you on so we can get those people out there with a positive feel for about yourself and your image and stop trying to copy everybody else. Be an original.
I love that.
Yes. Terrific. And I thank you so much for joining us today. Come back soon.
I will. And good luck with the wonderful show.
Thank you, my love.
Bye-bye.
Just remember, folks, no food on Pop Off. Well, I'll tell you, it is the way you're going to like it. If you are the type of person that on Saturday and Sunday, you go out there and hit the sale trail. Sale trail. Garage sale season is here, folks. Are you in the lookout for bargains? Then get thee to the Garage Sale Gourmet with Amy Chazaris and Randy Lynn. And Randy's online with us, by the way. And you, too, can turn cash, I should say trash, into cash and find hidden treasures out there. This is streetwise shopping for fun, profit, and home improvement. Hey, Randy, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Hi, thank you.
It's great. You know, I love garage sales to a certain extent because you never know what you're going to find out there.
No, you don't. That's the whole fun of it.
Have you found some treasures?
Oh, lots of them.
Like?
Treasures can be the smallest little things, like the thing that I'm raving about these days lately is all these little candle holders that I found lately for literally a couple of dollars.
And were they worth a lot?
I don't know. Some of them were. Some of them, I got actually really nice a set of standing candle holders that you'd pay probably $200 for in a store that I got for
like
$45.
How much did you pay for? A couple of bucks?
Well, those were different ones. But the other ones I got were much cheaper. They would have been, much cheaper.
But maybe even if it's like 15 or 20 bucks and you buy it for a couple of bucks, that's pretty good.
Well, the thing, what I started to say about the cheap ones, I actually bought like a dozen small candle holders that would have, obviously individually, you know, $10 a piece or so.
Mm-hmm.
I got the whole thing for $10.
Oh, wow.
So that's what I was initially referring to.
You know, but how do I say this nicely, because there's a lot of trash out there, too. How do I know what's the trash and what's the treasure?
Well, you know, treasure is whatever you like, and the trash, you know, quite frankly, most of it is just kind of dirty. I mean, you just clean it off, and you'll have, and it doesn't look like trash anymore. You know,
but I would think you also have to have the expertise or know what you're looking for. I mean, I've had a couple of garage sales in my lifetime, and there are always that certain group of people that when they drive up, you know, they know what they're looking for. And they're going to find the treasures as opposed to the trash because they've done a little homework.
Well, the people who seem so determined, it's quite likely that they're buying with the intent of reselling.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they know so much what the treasures are, is they know what they can, you know, fix up easily and resell at a profit. I think that's kind of what those, you know, a lot of that is.
Now, most people, let's face it, will drive right by a garage sale because they think, oh, you know, I'm not going to buy used things. But really, if you think about it, antiques are used things, so that you can pay a fortune for some antiques if you go into an antique shop.
Exactly. I mean, you know, anything that you look, even think about something that you buy in a department store. Once you take it home and take the wrapper off, you know, then that's used too. I mean, just because something is used doesn't mean there's anything at all wrong with it.
Right.
And certainly, you know, even you know, whether you find antiques or not at a garage sale, that should be pretty lucky find. But the age of something doesn't really have anything to do with how good it is or how much you like it or how well it fits in your home.
Now, you have some really good tips in your book, Garage Sale Gourmet. And one is, a lot of people say, you know, I got to drag my kids with me. Involve them, right? Get them part of it.
Well, absolutely. Anita, my sister and co-author, she's the one with the kids, but she does it all the time. I mean, I've gone out with them, you know, shopping at the garage sales, and it's time to spend, you know, some time with your kids. You know, get them out into the neighborhood, get them out talking to people, teach them something about the value of money and, you know, why do people sell this, why do they want to buy that, and so on.
The other thing is the negotiation, but you've got to have the moxie to do it. We're not used to doing that. We're used to going into a department store or a boutique or whatever, and whatever the price tag is there, that's what we pay. But that's not what you do at a garage sale, right?
No, we're all just so conditioned to just pay whatever the sticker says. But, you know, at a garage sale, you know, what's the value, what's the right price for something that somebody doesn't want anyways? I mean, you know, who knows? So if somebody has something priced at $15 or $12 and you only want to pay $10, offer $10. You know, chances are that they want to get rid of it more than they want to haggle over those $2 so that they don't want to, you know,
isn't it a good idea to ask offer $5, though? Because maybe they'll give it to you for $9.
Well, you know, whatever you feel comfortable with, certainly. I mean,
I'm a good negotiator.
Oh, if you are, you can start low
call myself,
and haggle more, I
call myself thrifty.
Yeah. But, you know, it depends. But negotiation is not such a big, scary thing. It's like the word negotiating is scarier than the act itself, you know?
Well, a lot of people feel embarrassed to negotiate. Again, but that's, again, a very American phenomenon. You go to European countries, you go to the marketplaces in South America, they expect you to negotiate.
They're insulted if you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we just need to kind of rethink what we're doing. Are there any tricks other than, you know, offering a lower price, or is there a negotiating trip?
Well, there's one thing that you can do, and in fact, this is how I got all those candle holders,
yeah,
is if you make it clear that you're going to buy a number of things and group them all together,
uh-huh,
then you can usually offer a price for the whole thing that's less than the price of the individual items.
Way cool. I like that.
You're like negotiating, but you don't have to feel like it. You're just saying, well, okay, well, how about just all these things for $20?
Sounds good. I like that. I like that idea a lot. Now, what about if I'm planning to do a garage sale? It was like a major endeavor to do one when my mom passed away. But, you know, we got these racks so we could put things, clothes out there and all these kinds of things. Is there anything that kind of makes one garage sale stand out above another?
Well, you can tell immediately how well somebody has tried to make it a pleasant shopping experience. And my first, you know, advice on holding your own garage sale is think back to all the ones that you've been to, and what did other people do that you liked or didn't like? Did they make you feel welcome? Did they say hi? Did you know was it easy to find where the cash box was so that you could pay for something? You know, were things laid out, you know, by type of item so that they were easy to find?
Yeah,
you know, think about how the kind of garage sale that you would want to go to,
yeah,
and set yours up the same way.
I mean, you don't want to go to a junk pile and have to go through all the trash, more or less. Like you said, if they're hanging and nice and, you know, or like you said, into different areas. I remember what we did, we had a bunch of purses. My mother was a purse hound.
Uh-huh.
And we had them all laid out on the lawn on blankets so that, of course, they wouldn't get soiled and everything. But that way, everybody, you could see what you like and what you don't like and don't have to kind of go through a huge box and stick your head in and feel like you're going to fall in the darn thing.
Right. And it's a good thing, you know, you can sort of separate things as if they were like departments in a department store. And it's almost always good to put toys and kids things over in a separate area anyways, and that way they can go play and check things out while, you know, you're looking at the other things, and mm-hmm. they can pick something out for a dollar, you know.
What sells best at a garage sale? Is there anything that stands out?
Oh, I don't know. I talk to people who are always telling me that, oh yeah, there's trends. You can, I guess if you go to enough garage sales, you know, things kind of come and go, but I have absolutely no idea.
So anything, it's like a wild, wild west of the garage thing. You can put anything out there. You never know who's looking for what.
No, you don't. You never know what you're going to find either.
You no,
know,
why
I,
did you
I have found things that I thought were completely unlikely that I would find at a garage sale.
I can imagine. Well, and people, again, it may be very valuable to you because you can use it or you really want something, and the other person's like, I had enough of this. Don't want it anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So why did you write the book, by the way?
I'm sorry, why did...
Yeah.
Actually, it was Anita's idea. She has been... she has studied interior design, and she's been a shopper, professional shopper, and a garage sale shopper on her own since she was a little girl. And she approached me with the idea for this. She's been wanting to do it for a while.
I bet you she's good at garage sale shopping.
Well, she's way more... You know, everything I know, I learned from her, I got to say.
That's excellent.
I'm like the convert. I'm the proof that it could be done, that you can not know anything at all about this to start with and wind up actually, you know, making it a part of your life.
Are you the kind that goes out every weekend?
No, I'm not the fanatic, but that's just not, you know, there's all kinds of people go out garage sale shopping for different reasons. And I'm just much more of a casual looker, but I think in advance about the kind of things that I'm looking for my apartment,
mm-hmm.
and so that when I see garage sales, I know what I'm looking for already.
Yeah.
And so I'm just kind of primed for it all the time, which I never was before.
Excellent. It sounds like you have a fun time, and it's almost becomes like a social thing.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe this is my job.
When I've seen from garage sales, and even the one or two that we had, it was fun. I mean, people came by, they visited. I would think, is it a good idea maybe to have some refreshments? Not major, but maybe something cool to drink or...
Oh, yeah, if it's a hot day, have something cold to drink, some
that's
water.
In California, you know?
Yeah, well, that's true, it doesn't get that cold here. But still, on some mornings, you know, in Southern California, people have garage sales all through the winter, and in December sometimes... You know, just set out like a pot of coffee, have that available. People love it.
Way cool. Now, where can they get the book, by the way, Garage Gourmet?
It's at, you can ask for it at bookstores and also at GarageSaleGourmet.com.
Okay, GarageSaleGourmet.com. And we'll make sure we put that up on the website, too, so we have that information. Well, it sounds like you're doing your job and you're encouraging others, and it's kind of like the American way to do it.
I really had no idea that there was a whole way of you know, thinking about garage sales, as part of life, but it's, you know, become actually kind of a fun little thing for me.
Well, keep up the good work. It sounds like you're having a lot of fun, and that's the main thing.
Oh, yeah.
Great. And again, it's called Garage Sale Gourmet. You can go to GarageSaleGourmet.com, and happy buying.
All right.
Take care, Randy.
Thank you.
That is kind of fun. I've gone to a couple of garage sales, but I don't know what to look for, so I'm going to have to do a little more reading on Garage Sale Gourmet. And who knows? I might find a bargain or two. Tell you, home improvement is what it's all about. And if you've ever watched the home improvement guide, that's the theme. I've got my own home improvement guide. You have your dream. You bought a house. But what you got is also a nightmare that can go along with it. It's called your home, your responsibility, your work. But never fear, Roger's here. He's our Wednesday feature guy who's going to be with us all the time. It's called Knowing Your Home with Roger Sandoz. Roger, thank heavens you're around because it's expensive to have a home.
It's expensive, and I live by one credo my father taught me.
What's that?
That is, if you buy a home,
uh-huh.
you earned it. day.
For the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life, because this is an extension of your family. You are going to be taking care of this thing the same way you would any member of your family.
Yeah.
He's going to need the doctor. He's going to get sick. You need to take care of him. You take care of him, he's going to take care of you.
Okay.
So in that vein, a lot of people are watching these days. They're watching the home improvement shows that we see on TV and whatnot.
They're popular.
Very, very popular. But if you notice, there's a strong tendency to be a lot of East Coast things.
Mm.
Basically,
why?
Most of, well, broadcasting actually emanates from Atlanta.
Oh,
so
okay.
A lot of the producers and everything else are back there. And they have cute, quaint, old, Victorian, this, that, and the other, and the Bostonian, and the accent's really fun. but unfortunately, the applicability to what they do back there and what we are allowed to do out here
on the West Coast. Yeah, different.
Very different.
Well, not only that, but, you know, they're going with the big, fancy houses. We don't live in big, fancy houses. We live in practical homes for our families, and we're looking at the practical application of things, like the big thing right now, my God, is energy saving. How do we save energy? The money is going, it's like a sieve.
It is. It's very much like a sieve. And a couple of things, getting to geography again, is the conditions of weather back east are not the same as the conditions of weather
right
out here.
When I first moved out here, I got to tell you, quick story.
Sure, go ahead. Yeah.
That moved back into Sacramento, 77. Came out here and I said, where are the basements? No basements. I was from Chicago. I got basements. You know, you got a basement. Don't need a basement out here. Then they said during the wintertime, I said, no, what about covers? So, you don't need covers. You know, all the pipes are really up close to the top. Why? We don't have weather. You know,
we don't freeze.
No.
We do get fairly hot.
Yeah.
And our degree of temperature differences has a broader range than they do back east.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't get hurricanes like they're talking about today. We don't get the
humid
weather
here and there.
We get shakers, and somehow that doesn't have anything to do with the draft through the window.
Yeah.
So what we look at out here is vastly different, and that's right down to the elements of your windows, for example.
All right.
A lot of the homes that were built in the last 30, 40 years, mm-hmm. even up to probably the late 80s, early 90s, came out with standard, we have some windows, we're going to slap them in the house, and they typically they're aluminum frame windows or something like that. And if you go to those windows, whether it's blistering hot outside or it's freezing, you can feel the severe temperature difference between that and about 4 feet away behind your wall.
Wow.
Your wall's well insulated in that, but this window is just a mega sieve. And those sort of things are what are really costing you energy-wise, whether you're using gas, whether you're using electricity. This is where your money's going. These and the doors around our houses being improperly sealed are the vents, our biggest nemesis.
Yeah, but you know what? I have to be kind of frustrated about this because I think in two ways. Yeah, I want to save money. I want to save energy. But doggone it, you know, you hear about these sick buildings, you know, where they seal up the windows, they seal up the doors, and all you're getting is all that air that keeps going through that vent over and over and over again. And people have allergies. They get all kinds of sickness as a result of that. I don't want to close it off. So I want some fresh air a little.
Well, a house is so very much different from a business environment where you're talking about multiple floors. You're talking about mass amount of people in these little cubicles recirculating their bad colds. In a home, you have a much better control over your environment. And you're going to be opening your doors and you're going to be opening your windows. And you're talking about less space that you're trying to change and circulate the air in.
All right.
That said, in the middle of the winter, you're not trying to open your windows because you're going to freeze to death.
Mm-hmm.
But you still want to circulate things well. So you've got these well-insulated doors sealed, well-insulated windows sealed. What are you going to do? You're going to turn on maybe your air flow in your house, be it the heater or maybe just the general air, or if it's hot outside, it's going to be air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
What comes into play there is really how well have you taken care of your ducting? Is it clean? They need to be cleaned out. A lot of times we have these ductings in the floor.
Yeah.
Well, they're catch-alls. When you're vacuuming, you're dusting, everything goes to the lowest point.
Right
down inside there. Then it just kind of spins around in there for a while. And if it gets too warm or moist or whatever, it creates little bacteria because there might be food down there. There might be dust, something.
It gets ugly. I saw once they showed the inside of dusting. They took those little snake cameras and went in there.
Yep.
That stuff was, I mean,
it can be pretty disgusting.
Gross.
Disgusting. Well, they come out with the big trucks now. They'll seal off all the ducts. They put a big vacuum thing on, suck all the thing out really clean. They take that very camera, send it down there, make sure things are cleaned out, but they're also checking to make sure that your ducting hasn't fallen apart over the years. Is there a break in the line? Was it, you know, whatever? And then is there any bacteria or anything? And then they spray them to kill the bacteria and that.
The molds
and everything else. And this is something that you should probably do once every other year.
Really?
But a first good, thorough cleaning, you're going to see a dramatic change in the air circulation of your house. That combined with the proper changing of the filters for the intake, that's going to be the big vent thing that you've got somewhere in the ceiling, in an upper wall, lower wall, somewhere, you'll notice it. You take that cover off, and you'll notice there's a filter there. We don't pay attention to these things.
I had a friend who just moved into a house a couple of years ago, and I said, "Now, Roger told me you got to change those filters." And she said, "What?" And I said, "You know those things." What? I said, "You haven't changed a filter in 2 years." Oh my God!
Oh, this is not good.
No, that thing must be black by now, you know.
Well, it not only is that black, it gets into the system. Of course, the AC unit is going to pick that up and spin it around. But a lot of the particles in that have built up are now pushing themselves through. The airflow is bad, which makes your unit work harder, which means you're going to use more energy to run it.
Yeah.
Garbage is going to get in that unit. That's going to lower its efficiency and possibly even bring it to a halt.
Yes.
So maintenance, maintenance, maintenance. This is a body. This is an energy. This is a living thing that has to be taken care of.
Whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not. Okay. Well, you should like it, because if it's good, you're comfortable.
You should have a professional person come in to clean the ducts, though, no?
Yeah, absolutely, because the machinery required to do this. And it's really not a lot of money. We're only talking maybe $300-$500, depending on the home. And
it
seems expensive, but when you take into consideration your health, if it's really, really hot, you don't want to open the door and let that hot in.
Yeah.
You don't want all that bacteria and everything else flowing around, like you said. So how do you recirculate the air cleanly?
So every other year, do that.
Every other year, you should probably have it just checked. You should have a thorough one done to begin with. And every other year is probably just enough of a maintenance sort of thing to keep those ducting in good shape.
Okay. One other thing, a friend of mine, I have a lot of friends who have problems.
You know, that's the thing. Everybody has a house. Everybody's got this.
And her water heater just went.
Yes.
Now, she, believe me, I won't even tell you how long she had that water heater. It's 30 years.
Wow.
I said, oh, my.
No energy star on that baby.
not only that, it lasted 30 years. It finally rotted out on the bottom. Is that
it
will. The water started coming out.
Absolutely.
But when she replaced it, I said, get rid of the darn thing. You're wasting a lot of money on that by not replacing that doggone thing. And besides, what's the water heater? 10, 15 years, maybe? 20?
You know, at most, because the whole Energy Star efficiency thing is developed in order to make manufacturers bring up the level of quality of the units themselves to make them use less energy to heat up the same amount of water and everything else. There are some good units on the market today that are energy efficient and can be put in. But what's important to know about a water heater is it holds water.
Thank you.
Okay. We work backwards from there, and we start to think, okay, it's holding water all the time, which means in order for that thing to stay hot, it's constantly cooling down because of ambient temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
Something has to heat it back up, and you're trying to maintain 50, 75 gallons, 100 gallons of water at a certain temperature, which means you're constantly feeding energy to this thing, whether you're around or not. Maybe you go on vacation for a month or 2 weeks or a week. This thing is always going, and that can be a problem. The other thing is you're heating up. This is essentially like putting a pot of water on your stove. You're putting a lot of heat to the base of the unit, which is to heat the water, and the water maintains the heat regulation.
Yeah, because when I want to go take a shower, I want it to be hot.
That's right. Now, that heat exchange from the base unit to the water is a metal pan. That pan will eventually rust out. There's no way around it, no matter how well they coat this thing.
Yeah.
It's containing, and it's going to heat out, and the heat and contraction, cold heat,
mm-hmm.
is going to wear on this unit. So you're wasting a lot of energy. You have a lot of water you're trying to maintain. And when you go to use that water, are you getting the full 50, 7500 gallons worth of hot water? No, because cold water is being fed in as quickly as you're pulling hot water out. So by the time you've used maybe half of the tank, enough cold water's come in to cool down the water that's in there, so you're losing all of the energy created to heat up half of that tank.
I'm never taking a shower again.
That's as we sit there when we adjust our cold and hot just to stay warm, right?
I'm screwing my see my chest roll, ding, ding, ching, 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 all of it's going, man.
Well, yeah, have you ever wondered why you can turn the cold all the way off and you're not getting scalded? Is because there's so much cold coming in. Now you've just got ambiently warm water being fed from
the
tank.
So what do we do?
Very, very simple solution.
Okay.
Yes, it costs a little bit more than a water tank.
Uh-huh.
Not a lot, but a little. But you get yourself a tankless water heater.
Oh, I was going to ask you about those.
Yeah, they are fabulous.
Really?
They've been using them in Europe for years. America took his time.
Mm-hmm.
So we now...
Their time.
Yeah, exactly. Her time, his time, their time.
Their time.
So they basically now, they're available on the market. They're very accessible. But their life expectancy is about 6x that of a water tank, simply because the unit is very compact. Yes, it still uses some energy source like a flame or an electrical to heat the water, but you're sending it through something akin to a radiator.
Oh.
And the thing only fires off when water is being drawn through it. So when you turn on your hot water tap, the water from the unit is being drawn through,
mm-hmm.
and as such, the mechanism turns on and heat that water going through the coils.
As it goes through,
goes through, exactly.
Wow.
And it's nice and hot, and it stays that way no matter how long the hot water's on.
But it never builds up a whole bunch of water, and then it just sits.
Exactly. So there's not all this water sitting there. You're not constantly heating it, and you don't run out of hot water.
That's way cool.
You set that temperature in your shower, and you don't change it until you get out when you turn it off.
Yeah, but you're going to tell me probably those doggone things run 3 times what a regular water heater runs.
No, at most they average about twice, and that's on the high end.
But
you can get some really elaborate, expensive ones and things. But for the most part, no, you're really only talking about half to double the cost of a water heater.
Yeah.
But you're saving that in energy.
Energy, yeah.
And you're saving it in the length and life of the unit and the safety of the unit, because now you're not worried about things collapsing and water flooding out and all the other elements that you were always concerned with water heaters.
Yeah.
They're fabulous.
Wow. I didn't realize. Well, again, where you're saving is in the length of it, because there is a definite date on that. And then also, like you said, you never run out of water.
Run out.
Especially if you have like 3 or 4 kids. Poor mom and dad.
As a matter of fact, I can imagine that. Personally, yes.
You've got 3. I can imagine by the time you get your shower. It's like,
the shower, the washing machine, the dishwasher, the... I don't know how to turn the water off when I'm rinsing dishes. The whole thing, yes. Kids, it's great.
And the energy saving, I mean, we need to be looking at that for a variety of reasons, not only for the savings on our side, but generally speaking, we need to be a little more, environmentally conscious.
Exactly. Yeah. The energy problems that we're facing today aren't going to go away.
Yeah.
They will get exponentially bigger. The debates will always get larger. The costs will always go up.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to find some areas in which you can save.
You bet.
So if you have a one-time cost, it costs a little bit more to get the unit in, but over the long haul, it's amortized. And it also brings value to the house, because now if you're selling this house and it has a tankless water heater versus a water heater,
right. That's
a selling point.
Way cool. That's
so you
true.
Bring these are little things that bring it up. The windows brings it up. The certification of your ducting system and your service on your air conditioning and heating brings up the value out. These are all things that just add value.
Well, you're my knowing your home guy.
Advertise the fact that you're taking care of that home.
How do they get a hold of you if they have some questions?
You can go to knowingyourhome.com, KNOWINGHOME.
And if they can ask some questions or maybe give some suggestions for the next show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're going to be with us every Wednesday.
Absolutely. We're going to be here every week. So, yes, you can send it to Popoff or you can send it to Knowing Your Home.
Okay.
And either way, you can put it on that. There's a spot on the website, put in your information, maybe you, and then send it off to us, and we will get on it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thanks for... This is the first time together on BBS Radio.
BBS has been great.
And much more to come. Just you wait and see.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Roger.
Oh, thank you, Mary.
And thanks to all of you for being with us on Pop Off. You know, the name of the game is having a lot of fun, and fun is where it's at when you talk about Pop Off. Again, if you want to reach us, easy. Mary Jane at popoff.com.
All the leaves are brown.
And you can go anytime you want to popoff.com and be able to get all the information that we have on the show. So, again, thank you so much for being with us on Pop Off. And not only being with us, but we'll be back with us tomorrow. We have another guest and more fun things. So live simply, laugh off, and love deeply. And above all else, you dare to dream.
If I was in L.A., California dreaming, I'd touch your Wednesday. Stopped into a church, I passed along the way. Well, I got down on my knees, and I began to pray. You know the preacher likes to call. He knows I'm gonna stay. California dreaming, I'll touch the Wednesday.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.